property, obviously, and we saw the wall. Okay, we've been saving money, sending money, employing those people to do work on the wall, and I mean, there was cactus around there. They tore down the cactus. Now there's walls. Some of the walls are high as this ceiling right here, depending on how we need to, you know, what we're going to do with it in the future. But to see that, to see Benson is a local guy that his kids go to the school. He works on the property, and he's a part of their staff. Does all the maintenance stuff. He was excited because I had given him some tools, like a tool belt and a carpenter set last time we were there. Well, he built that like fence, a bamboo fence that's painted in primary colors around the playground set. To see all that stuff, it's like, oh man, it's exciting. Everything's changing and this is great. You know, I love getting on this property for the first time and seeing everybody. And then we go over to where we're going to be working, and here's our pavilion. And I go, what's going on? They put all the rock and all the gravel and all the sand right where we got to dig holes. You know, what? We've been planning this. We had all this set up. What in the world's going on? I go over, what's going on, Suzelle? She goes, well, we'll just have to move it. Oh, yeah, that's what we want to do, move a pile of sand, a pile of gravel, and a pile of big rocks. Yeah, we want to move that so we can dig holes and put it back here. That makes a lot of sense. So I got to tell you, man, I had an attitude from the very first time I stepped on that property. Got to read you a verse as soon as I got to get it. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And this is funny because what you sang, you have no idea. And then I spoke to somebody else in this church and they go, I can't believe what God's doing. I planned that I was going to do this, but now God's got me doing this. And it's so much more than what I thought. It's like, you know, our song was, we trust in you, your ways are higher than ours. It's like, well, this is what God spoke to me about. He says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we had this thing planned out. I think my tactical instructor says a fail to plan is a plan to fail. So we had a plan. We knew what we were going to do. We had the drawing. We had our mind set on it. And then God said, you're just not getting the full picture. So he says, no, what you're going to do is you're going to build it here. And it wasn't my idea. I mean, I was still mad and pouting, okay? But, so, you know, when we plan this thing, we don't need to put 8 posts in the ground the way we planned it to make the smaller one. But I figured, we're going to do it that way because it make it stronger. But we had 8 posts. That was exactly what we needed to do that. And let me tell you something. This is about 50 foot. Raise your hand. No. Probably the third aisle. That's like 22 foot. That's how big this thing is. It's 50 by 21. That's how big this pavilion is. We were going to do a 15 by 30. And God says, no, you're not thinking big enough. This is what we're going to do. And so Suzelle didn't pile that stuff there. She didn't even tell him to pile it there. Matter of fact, I don't even think she ordered stuff for us. The rocks were for the landscaping, and we used them for the footing. She goes, now I got to get more stuff for the landscaping. The dirt and the gravel was left over from the guys who happened to be building the wall there, and they're done. And it was just laying there. I don't even think she ordered this stuff. But God said, that's where I'm going to have it put because I have a different plan. So the before, you saw that little bamboo shack. That's what was there. And so we said, well, we're going to have to take part of that down to do what we were going to do anyway. And why don't we just take the whole thing down? And then we'll just put the 30-foot pavilion here. It's like, wait a minute, we got enough material to do at least the foundation for, you know, four sections, I think it was, or three sections. So it's 48 foot. And then the overhang gave us the 50 foot. So we did that. And so God had this thing all planned out. So I just want you guys to know, and I know that the guy that I talked to today that said, you know, I thought God was going to do this, but he's doing something bigger. That's what he does with us. We limit him. And I want you to know that if God's changing your plans, just go with it. Like I told the guy, I said, you just get on that horse and hit it a couple times and hang on. And so that's what we did. God was in the middle of this the whole time because, okay, we didn't have enough material to do the work that we were going to do. I mean, we had enough to do the wood, the foundation, but not enough to do the roof. We didn't have enough cement, supposedly, because Suzelle didn't tell us that we were going to also do two 20-foot flagpoles that we had to put in concrete. So as we built the structure, dug the holes, and then now it's concrete day, and the guy says to me, he goes, we don't have enough concrete. Well, he didn't say it like that. He said it in Creole. And I said, just stretch it. And he goes, okay. So we started mixing, and I went up to Suzelle, and I said, Suzelle, we need two more bags of cement. And she goes, it's Sunday. Where am I going to get cement on Sunday? I said, I don't know, but if you want the flagpoles done and you want this done, we need two more bags of cement. And she said, okay, what do you think? And I said, go find somebody that's got cement. You know, there's got to be somebody here that's got cement at their house. And so she goes, she pouts, she goes over, sits down in the kitchen, and she goes, God, where am I going to find two bags of cement? And the cook's over there going, oh, you need cement? I got three bags at my house. And I live right next door. And so there you go. God goes ahead and supplies those two bags of cement because they're not hardware stores or whatever, wherever they get it, they're not open on Sundays. Then we get to a portion where we're building trusses. Oh, we don't have any more wood. We're going to run out. And it's like, well, we'll do as much as we can. We go to Suzelle and we say, Suzelle, we need more wood to get this done. She goes, well, how am I going to get it? I mean, we can't go to Port-au-Prince. I said, well, why don't we go to Gonaïves? And she goes, well, that's an hour and a half away. And I said, well, if you want to finish the roof, that's what we need. And so she talked to her husband, Muller, and Muller says, well, I can't get it on the truck. You know, it's 16-foot lumber, and it's an hour and a half away, and you know the roads there aren't flat. And so he says, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to do it. I said, oh, yeah, we can get it on. So he said, okay. So he goes over there, and he gets the wood, and then we get a phone call. Our transfer that happened on Friday hadn't cleared by Monday, so we can't buy the wood, okay? So I don't know if it was loaded or whatever the situation was, but we prayed again, Lord, what are we going to do? Are you going to allow this transfer to go through? And he goes, probably not. We're going to think of something else. So evidently, Muller had an extra $350 or so in his pocket or able to say, well, I'll pay for it. And by the way, Muller, I don't know if he necessarily believes in God, but he's not a believer. He's not a Christian. And so, we're running out of time. God used him, whether he liked it or not, whether he knew it or not, God used him. And so he paid for the materials, and he heads over. And I am over by the kitchen. Suzelle says, RJ, the materials are here. I don't see him. The materials are here. And there they go. The guy, he pulls up, Muller pulls up to the gate, which you can't see the truck. All I see is a bundle of wood. It's this wide, and it's about this tall. And if I could see it over the fence, I know how he brought it there. He put it over the roof of the truck, which, sorry, Rob Robertson, there's a little dent up there. But anyway, And he drove it an hour and a half on those roads with that thing like 8 foot of the wood hanging over the roof, strapped down real well. But anyway, so God allowed that to happen. Gosh, what else did he do? I got to look at these notes. But I mean, God was in the midst of everything that we did there. Let's see, need a warm, the money transfer. Okay. I don't know if you noticed those time-lapse things, but there wasn't a lot of, like, Caucasian people walking around. We had 10 people, and we did a lot of work. We did more work than what we planned to do. And I told Suzelle, I said, Suzelle, we're going to need Benson. And she goes, okay, I'll tell him. And so Benson had made a phone call and got some other people there that were going to help us. They helped us dig holes. They helped us carry lumber, hand it up. Whatever we needed, they were there. So the community really pitched in and came through. So we saw God's hand in that. And I think people have asked me what the highlight of the whole trip was, and I haven't told anybody what the highlight of the trip is, because the whole trip was really a highlight. I mean, if you want to look at the low lights, hey, it was hot. We ate rice every day, okay? Whatever, that's where you're at, okay? But you want to know the highlight is Benson didn't work one day with us. He couldn't because he was sick. And we thought maybe it was the flu, you have the fever, but he had something going on in his back. And so the first day he was there, but he didn't obviously do anything. And then the next day he couldn't even walk. He was in bed. And so after our day, we went by his house and we stopped and we were gonna pray for him. And we went and saw him. And I just wanna say something, that he's employed there by the school and he's getting paid. It's probably his first paid job that he's ever had. And so now he's able to provide for his family. But as we walked into his house, all I can tell you is those people there, they would love to live in our garage, to see, you know, what some people live in. It's hard. But he was on his bed and he was laying on his stomach, and evidently there was blood in his urine. And Maida and Rob is a nurse as well. They were assessing him and everything, and there was some swelling or dissension in his back where his kidney was. So they were thinking maybe he had a kidney stone or whatever. The highlight of my time there was Maida and I think maybe Suzelle prayed over him in Creole. And we were obviously all praying, but Maida took the lead and prayed over him. And what an amazing prayer. We saw him the next day, and he was sitting across the street from his house on a bench or whatever. And we said, hey, how you doing? And he was saying he was feeling better. Obviously, he walked out of his house, and he walked across the street. And he says, I'm getting around a little bit. I'm feeling better. The next day, he was at work. We obviously didn't let him work, but he was there. And he was there the rest of the time. And that's just a testimony that, you know, the Bible says in James, if anybody is sick, come to the elders of the church and let them lay hands and anoint them with oil and pray. And the Bible says in another place that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it's just not the guy that stands up here at the pulpit every week, but it's you guys too. I mean, Maida, she was an absolute angel to me on this trip, looking after all of us, but I felt it was like personal care. That prayer over him, he was healed. And I mean, that's what we want to see. I mean, this whole trip, everybody's going to come up here and give you their take and their perspective on it, but this whole trip, God was there. It wasn't anything like we expected, and it wasn't all the way we planned it, and it wasn't easy. God really said, hey, I don't want you guys to take any of the credit. I did this. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bonjour, church.
Hey, bonjour.
Bonjour, church.
Bonjour.
That's the extent of my Creole. So to follow up with what kind of what the theme of what RJ was talking about, and it's interesting and really cool that God has, he ultimately has a purpose, but we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about. He gives me Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And for me, I went on this trip because God put it on my heart to go to Haiti and help them build what they need to build. And I've been on another mission trip, and so I kind of knew what to expect. But when I got into Haiti, the poverty and the way they were living just broke my heart. And two things. I was worried for the team because of the situation we were in. So the enemy put fear and, I wouldn't say doubt, but fear that, you'll see some pictures about how we were driving through the busy city. It was absolutely nuts, absolutely crazy. And I'm thinking, okay, we stop, something might happen. And those thoughts are going through our head. And so the prayer was, get us there safely. And of course he did. And so we arrived to San Michele after landing in Port-au-Prince and staying at the hotel. And by the way, the first night, no hot water, like none. So that was kind of interesting. So we drive to San Michele going through these different towns, and each town has people making a living on the side of the road. And that's how they support themselves. And it is tragic, really, because the way that the country, I don't know completely, but the country has money. It just doesn't get to the local level. So we get to San Michele and we go to the school, and I have a plan of how everything's going to work. And of course, it's not God's plan. And when God changed the placement of the pavilion, it's okay, well, let's just do it there. We're just going to go with it. And it wasn't until Sunday when we went there in the morning and the kids were having church, RJ and I were late because we had to talk to the gentleman who was going to run us the mixer. So we came back, must have been 30 minutes later, 20 minutes later. And so we walk up to the property and we have the posts in the ground. The pavilion's right near the back door of the school, which they're using for church. And the kids are worshiping. And at that moment, that was when God's plan was revealed to me. And his plan was, that's what it's about, those kids. And they were so joyful. It says that the praising a joyful noise to the Lord. I mean, it was just amazing. They were praising in Creole. I had no idea what they were saying, but it was just amazing. And the Spirit of the Lord just came upon me and changed the whole thing. And at that point, it was like, okay, whatever you want, wherever you want us to do, whatever's going to happen, you are in control. And it's interesting that when the disciples were in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, it says they were all there in one accord, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We were in the upper room. It just happened to be in Haiti. We were waiting for the Holy Spirit, and he did his work. I know he touched each one of us, right, Bailey? Nola? Where's Nola? It was amazing. And after that, the week didn't go any easier, but it was, how would I put it? It was peaceful. He gave us his peace. He gave us his joy. You look at those kids and you notice their smiles. Those smiles weren't there for some of those kids. They didn't smile till the last day. And others, they saw us. And I personally, I couldn't communicate to them because I couldn't talk their language, but we would put my hand up to high five and they would go and just touch it. And so I'm communicating them with just fun. Okay, smack it, come on. And the next day, I walk by and they're smacking the hand, they got the smile going. And for us to be there and give them the joy that the Holy Spirit filled in us, share that with them for just that short period of time that we were there, I know that God is changing those kids, and he just happens to let us be a part of it. And it's amazing. And that should happen, and I'm going to be the first one to confess it shouldn't take me 1,000 miles to be able to do that. And my prayer is that he will keep that attitude here wherever I'm going. So that's my prayer for myself, and I pray that for you too. There were times when we did not have the material. There were times when we were discouraged. And the main theme of this mission trip for the team was prayer. And we did a lot of prayer. And John 14:13-14 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And on Sunday after the baptism, we had a celebration. Weather's coming in. It was storming, and it's coming right to us. And so we prayed for the celebration, thanked him for what he's done down at the river, and asked him, "Can you just please hold this rain off until we're done?" And you know, it was coming in. Here we are, there that is, and that doesn't do it justice. There was lightning and rain right behind it, and it just went like this, and it completely missed us, and God got the glory. Benson, miracle, God got the glory. So anytime that we as a church, we as individuals pray to our Creator, he hears, and we need to give him the praise. The prayer that Blake was saying just after worship, that we listen to him, we hear his voice. And that's what we did on that trip. We were in tune. Amazingly, how he does that, He talks to us, and we hear him. We listen to him. So I would want to encourage, you know what, let me back up. On that note of hearing his voice, one of the missionaries that isn't here, she got to share with me some of the things that were going on with her, and that she said that she did not know why she was on this trip. And she ended up giving her life to Jesus, being baptized, and realizing the purpose for her trip. And that was the Holy Spirit experience with the kids and the church and Madison's situation. Those are two miracles, and those were my spots. So with that, I would like to encourage the members of the team, Bailey and Nola, you guys were instrumental with those kids. I mean, it was, they legitimately love you guys. And that's just because Jesus is working through you. And Brianna and Madison, you should have seen these kids. I know that Brianna has 3 or 4 new boyfriends. Yep. But those experiences that we had, those are now part of your testimony. And people need to know about that. And so I would encourage you to either write them down, or you got enough gazillion pictures you guys took to remember. But not just us that went on the trip. I mean, God works in our lives every day, and we don't realize that that's part of our testimony. And even when he does one little thing, it's him working in us, and that's a miracle completely. Oh, one more prayer. This kind of brought it home to where we pray. Let's say you're going to the mall, busy parking lot. Lord, give me a parking spot. We've all done that, right? Nobody's prayed for a parking spot? Okay. So on our last day, we had a little retreat at the beach, decompress a little bit before we get back into town and get on the plane. We're driving from the beach back to the hotel, and we're taking the same road that we're going to be turning around that same afternoon and coming back to the next day coming back to the airport. That road was just lined with traffic. You have a picture of traffic, Rummy? And crazy traffic. No lines, no streetlights. There's a cop sometimes in an intersection going, you go here, you go there, and everybody's just going, yeah, whatever. Nuts. Absolutely crazy. So anyhow, that road is just jam-packed. We did some shopping before we left. Same road, packed. It's going to take us an hour to go probably 2.5 miles, 3 miles maybe, from the hotel to the airport. And so got all the luggage packed in the truck. Everybody's getting in their cars. And we think, wait, we got to pray. So just a 15-second prayer. Lord, give us safety, smooth, and quick to the airport. And you know, we didn't stop once from the hotel to the airport. Not once. And that is unheard of. Suzelle, Muller both said, you're going to have to leave really early to get there because you're going to have to try not one stop. I paid attention because that was the prayer. We get into customs. We waited 10 minutes, Maybe. There was no line. When we waited, it was because we had 10 people going. Fly into Atlanta. And we were told, okay, we have 2-hour layover. Most of that time is going to be taken in customs. We get out. We get through. We get in. 20 minutes? Amazing. So he showed up in a big way. He affected my life in a big way. And I would encourage him to let him affect your life in a big way. Merci.
Hello.
Hello.
Bonjour. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I know most of the missionaries, because of the language, they don't get to hear back from the people of Lacai Timon. So I was able to talk to a few of the moms there, and this is what they had to say about not only what Lacai Timon has done for them, but about the mission trip when you guys come as well. The first picture, her name is Ciliana, and she has one child at Lacai Timon. And what she says is that Lacai Timon has been good to me and my family. We've never had anything like that before. It provided us with a lot and a lot of help and support. I pray that God will continue to empower Lacai Timon and the missionaries so that you guys can continue to do good works. And these moms, they come to help. They don't have a job. They're not employed at Lacai Timon. They just come because of what Lacai Timon has been doing for them. They just volunteer their time to help with the kids and everything. And the next one, she has three kids, but only two of them are students at Lacai Timon. And this is, her name is Yudlin, and her two kids that are at Juvensky and Skerlandi. Skerlandi is my baby. I love her. And this is what she has to say. She said that Lacai Timon has been very, very good to me. I didn't have any money to send my kids to school, and now I can with Lacai Timon. It has provided me with a lot of help. I'm very appreciative and thankful for all that Lacai Timon has done for us. And I love Lacai Timon a lot. And the third person I'm gonna show you, I didn't take a picture of her, but it's that lady over here. Mom said that she's always, every day she's there at Lacai Timon, just helping. And this is what she has to say. She said, her name is Pikian. And she says, I am very happy. Some people have come, but nothing ever happens. And I like that she says this. She said that God sent us someone thanks to his grace. I pray that God continues to help Lacai Timon's missionaries. I have two grandchildren enrolled in the school right now. Their mom is not here. So I'm very happy Lacai Timon is, she said an expression that is levezona, meaning giving value, because they've never had something like that before. This is the first time that somebody come and actually stay and help in the community. She says that, so everyone needs to be happy and grateful for what Lacai Timon has accomplished. I ask that God continues to bless and encourages everyone, Suzelle, her husband, the missionaries, because the work that is being done here is very, very good. Don't give up. And the next one, her name is Anis, and she's the one, initially she had twins that were able to provide birth certificate for them, but unfortunately the twins passed away due to cholera. So she's very resilient. She has, I think, one kid in Lacai Timon. She said that, I'm so happy to see the mission team again. This helped us a lot. I remember one of the first things Lacai Timon did, providing us with birth certificate for our kids, which we did not have money to pay for. So I ask that you continue to keep us and support us and stay with us. Thank you. And the last one, her name is Nilva, and she has one child at the school, And that's the kid. Her name is Juliska. And she said that, "I'm very thankful for what Lakai Timon has done for us. I have three kids who did not have birth certificates. And now, thanks to Lakai Timon, they do. In addition, thanks to Lakai Timon, my kids are able to get a free education, and they feel very comfortable at Lakai Timon. We never had something like that before. So I say thank you, not only to Lakai Timon, but to the missionaries who came. I will continue to help you pray to remain strong and the will to continue to do more. And I ask also that you will continue to help me pray and pray for us." And I was able to, I did not ask them to pose like that. They wanted to be cool, and they decided to do that. This one over here, his name is Baudelaire, and this is Curvins. I was able to ask them the same questions. What have they learned here at Lakai Timon? And Baudelaire says that, "We love when the white people come." And as far as the Lakai Timon, his word is that we're learning about God's commitment and all that God did for us. We love it all. And Curvins, he said the same thing. He said, "I love the white people too when they come and that they work hard and build stuff for us. I love God and love that he brought us here." And finally, one of the thing or one of the verses that I kept thinking of during the mission trip is this verse from Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor or tired and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There was, I think it was the day before we left Saint Michel to go back to Port-au-Prince. And there was a little kid that mom usually, if something happened, she never sent or returned him home because he lives so far. For him to go to the school and go back to his house, it's about 5 miles for him to just walk. And the road is basically walks that you're walking on. So that day, he was wearing the wrong shirt, and one of the teachers at the front sent him back home for him to change the shirt and wear the correct color. And then when he finally came back, bear in mind that's a total of 7.5 miles just for that morning. So he came back, and he was very sad and down, especially because he was late. And then he came, and he didn't know that if we were gonna accept him because he was late. And then he started just crying. And then mom took him and put him on a chair, "Sit, and we'll give you breakfast." So that's a burden that's been lifting off of him. And this is what Lakai Timon is doing. Also, I had another opportunity to go and walk around the community with one of the other missionaries, Rob Matias, because he wanted to talk to some of the neighbors of Lakai Timon and see the condition of living, what the needs are, their medical conditions. And you can see the people lives, I mean, you would say what looks like a shed. It can be like 8 people living in that area. And you can tell from their faces that they are weary, they are tired. But when you talk to them and you ask for them, and 2 of them, they were older, and the response they said, I asked them, "How many people live in the house with you?" And she said that, "God and myself." And I have that on 2 separate occasions where that's the answer, it's God and myself. So just to say that God planted Lakai Timon over there. And for that community, that's where they go to get rest and to learn about God and be able to rely on him. This is what Lakai Timon is doing for the community. So that's it.
I'm Nola.
When she doesn't have the black stuff on her face.
Black stuff? Oh, the mask. I brought masks one night. Forgive me, this will be very scatterbrained because I wasn't planning on speaking.
I just wanted to talk about some of my experiences. And RJ, if it's any consolation, I think I completely missed your bad attitude. And I honestly didn't even really know that the plans were messed up because the kids are that cute. They distracted me that much during all of that. I do think that the unofficial theme of our trip became God's alternate plans. There were 6 girls on this trip out of 10 people, and I mean, anybody that knows me knows that building was not going to be my area of expertise. And I'm not kidding, all of these guys from the village showed up, and they said last year they came and they would just watch. And I swear, God sent these guys to help us this year because he knew that we couldn't get the job done. They helped us. They would take hammers out of our hands and say, they'd look at you like, let me do that. And they would just start, it would take me maybe like 10 whacks to get one nail in. It took these guys 2. So it helped us with our progress. And obviously, the most obvious part about this trip is the children are so cute and so amazing, but it was really so moving and sweet to watch them. The Sunday service that Mitch spoke about, I cried the whole way through it, and I was just standing in the back watching these kids listen to Pastor Rob and listen to Suzelle, and it was so moving and so sweet. And I know Bailey knows all about this because she went on the last trip, but for me to see it for the first time, it was incredible. And we had a chance to go visit another school that, I mean, that obviously all the schools there are doing the best they can, but you can just see the difference in Suzelle's vision and mission with Lakai Tamun is like night and day from these other schools. From like the love that she pours into them, teaching these kids about God, it's just so incredible. And I will be going back in March. Want to add anything?
Oh gosh. Hi, my name is Bailey. I don't understand how Pastor Rob always gets me to come up here. Like, I say every time I say, no, I'm not going up, I don't want to speak, but then I guess, I don't know. Ugh, I hate this.
Did the Holy Spirit meet you up there?
I don't.
Say yes.
Oh gosh, I don't want to admit it. I know there's like not a lot of people here, but I'm still nervous. Anyway, I'll just put that in the back of my mind. I'll pretend you guys are all in your underwear. It's fine. We're good. So my trip in February, that was my first trip. And then this is my second trip. And I feel like before I went in February, like I feel like I was kind of, I wouldn't say like an angry person, but I just had a lot of like frustration and I guess like anger and a lot of anxiety just inside of me, you know? And I didn't realize like going to Lakai Tamun and to Haiti like would change me as much as it did. Like I was just expecting to go there and just help the kids and help the women and stuff there and just build a lot of cool stuff, you know? And I just realized like when I came home, like how much it completely just changed my life around. Like I feel like, you know, a word that God put on my heart was perspective. And I didn't even realize this, like just any moment that I'm in where I just get frustrated, even over the little things like, oh, my nail polish is chipped, or, you know, I'm having a bad hair day. Like put it in perspective, like this won't matter in the long run. It's all about like our time here on earth is about serving the Lord and serving other people and just being a good person, I guess, as much as you can. And like just any situation that you feel that you're just frustrated in, like a big situation or even a small situation, just like put it in perspective. Like those kids in Haiti, they're so resilient. Like one of the girls, her name is Islanda, and she's the one who really touched my heart. And I remember she prayed over one devotion before school, and I remember one thing that she prayed for was she thanked God like for their good health. And in my mind I was thinking like, good health, what are you talking about? Because all of those kids were sniffling, they were coughing, like they weren't healthy at all. And just and her thinking that they're just so resilient, you know what I mean? It's like they just put their whole life in perspective, and it really taught me like, wow, you know, like who am I to complain about the little small things, you know? I just put things in perspective, you know? Like if you have any hard times you're going through, just try to stop and think, like, what is the Lord teaching me in this situation, you know? Like, what can I learn and take away from this and use this in the future for, you know? So that's one of the things that I really, really just learned from going to Haiti. And I encourage, if anybody has the opportunity to go, like, just come if you can. It's really amazing, and it really changed my life around, like, in every possible way that I just couldn't imagine, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, it was just a great trip, and I really look forward to going back. And, yeah, so thank you.
I don't even know where to start. Neither of those two wanted to come speak up here this morning. So it's just, I love the way God works. I know we're running way late. Children's ministry is going to be mad. But here's the thing, you know, my devotions that I led throughout the week were in the first chapter of the book of Acts, you know, where the Holy Spirit, God said, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until you have received the power from the Holy Spirit. And so that was kind of the theme throughout the trip, relying on God, relying on the Holy Spirit. I've been to Haiti now 4 times. I've been on other mission trips to Peru and different areas. And this trip, I will honestly say, was under more attack than any other trip I was ever on. So I get excited about that. I've shared that before, because when the enemy pushes that hard, that means God wants to do something amazing. And certainly God did do many things that were amazing. And as I've said in the past, when I first went to Haiti, those kids didn't smile. And I don't know if you noticed it, but there's so many smiles. These kids playing on the playground and playing soccer and playing basketball and just being around us. I mean, they don't look at us like we're lepers anymore. You know, it's like the white people, they now are kind of embracing, and because we're coming back. And so to see that love, it's kind of going both ways, and it's such a blessing. But again, the trip was under attacks. There were four men and 6 women. And what, 3/4 of the men had problems, like back problems, wrist problems, arm problems. So that was constant prayer, asking God to show up that way. And so for God to provide some of the local people to help was great. These women will say they didn't do anything, but they worked their tails off. They worked very hard, and I'm very proud of each and every one of them. And they're so excited. And one thing I think I will say is every time we go, we leave a little bit more of our hearts there. And it was hard for me to leave this time. I mean, it always is hard to leave Suzelle. But I mean, even this morning, I'm thinking, where are the kids this morning? You know, kids' church. And that, you know, as Mitch was talking about that, the children's worship. I mean, every single one of those kids sings to the top of their lungs. They're singing a cappella. There's no music. There's no sound system. And Suzelle just, she is amazing. This woman is a ringleader. She is a, you know, she's in charge of those kids. And she tells them to do something, they do it. I saw her chasing one kid because he was doing something he wasn't supposed to. She chased him all around Lakai Timon until she could get his butt so she could tell him not to do that anymore. She'll be back in 2 weeks. She's going to be, so keep her in prayer. She's coming back for a doctor's appointment to have her stomach, some of the digestion things taken a look at. So keep her in prayer. Again, Acts, you know, if to see these two together, to see them smiling, they've had issues in their relationship, and so this is good to see the love that they have for each other and the support. There's the verse from Acts chapter 1. I always like to talk about the team. You know, this is the finished product and the team that God used there. And prayer was so essential on this trip. Every time we turned around, we needed to be praying for somebody. And God continued to answer, healing Benson and providing time and time again on this trip. Maeda and Geraldine or Laylene or whatever you want to call these, they have so many names, it's ridiculous. They're just godsends. I mean, they're just, were a joy to be around. Her aunt, Laylene, she was on me constantly because I wasn't supposed to be bending or lifting, but you can't not do that. You gotta help out. And so I can remember was when I was hammering some nails out of a board and I was bending over when I was doing it, and I'm thinking, man, if Laylene saw me doing this, she would be so mad. And I turned over and she was standing there like this over me, and I was like, oh, I was just thinking of you. It was so, so much fun. This trip. And then the last thing, I just want to share this verse out of Romans 10. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We're seeing God do great things there. I was so, What Maeda shared, she did not share with me. I didn't know that she interviewed the parents or the, and that was just a blessing to hear their perspective, because there's a language barrier, so we don't know. And for them to know that we are there, we are committed. We are coming back in March to build a kitchen for them. So we're beginning plans there. I mean, I just see God there so much. And the reason we take the time for a service to share with you guys is because you're a part of it too. You know, with golf tournaments, with fundraisers, you supported this trip. You prayed for us on this trip because we needed it. For me, the highlight was this one day, sorry, Bailey. Bailey and Madison, you know, God sent a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old to stretch Pastor Rob. You know, women in general kind of get at each other. And one day, we're working, and Madison comes up to me and goes, "Pastor Rob, Bailey's not talking to me." And I'm thinking, I don't have kids. I don't even know how to deal with this. I go, "Well, where is she?" So we go find her, and she's crying, and she's trying to share with them. I said, "Come with me." And I'm sitting there with the two of them to try to, I said, "You guys are best friends, and you're at each other's throats, technically." I said, "But you have to understand, this is what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to build a wedge between your relationship, because God's going to use you." And he did. Because within 4 hours, the both of them were getting water baptized. You know, we went to that little river and baptized 7 of their children. And then Bailey, she wanted to get baptized, but she wanted to have this kind of private baptism, which God didn't want her to have. And then all of a sudden, after Mitch's ministry to her, Madison's like crying. I mean, literally, waterfall. And she goes, "I want to get baptized." And that's the thing about this trip. What the enemy tries to destroy, God brings glory in. Not in just in Haiti, in every day. If we're reliant upon the Holy Spirit, if we will be guided by God to bring good news of the peace of God into each other's lives, we'll see him take those things that are tough in our lives and turn them into something that's amazing. To see those two get baptized and to embrace each other and love each other after they were, like I said, at each other's throat earlier, is just a testament of God's goodness. It's a testament of God's goodness. And you have to understand that. And I'll be honest with you, Madison texted me this morning because she has a stomachache and couldn't be here. And I mean, the first thing I'm thinking is like, this is just the enemy. Because her testimony would have been powerful. Because God did an amazing work in her life there. And to love on these kids, I just want to look and see. You know, unity was in the team. I saw great unity. And Suzelle and Muller. And missions trips always do this. This is what I told the team in like the first day. A mission trip like this centers you. Because when you're in a place where it's cold showers, hot nights, I mean hot. You didn't want to go to bed because you knew it was going to be like a sauna. But you needed sleep in order to do what you needed to do the next week, the next day. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it because it centers you. It makes you realize, do I really need social media all the time? Do I really need high-speed internet? I mean, it is frustrating when you can't get on your phone. I remember one of the girls, I'll just say that, was on the things like, "Come on, download in Haiti." I'm like, we're frustrated because we're not getting a download, everyone? It's like maybe God's telling you to put the thing down. But we are planning another trip. And the first 12 people that want to sign up, because I don't really think we can handle more than that when it comes to transfer, you know, transportation and all that. So, and here's the thing, everybody's excited to go, but I say it every time, make sure God's calling you. Again, you hearing testimonies and it's exciting, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Know that God's called you to it, because it's not a vacation by any stretch of the imagination. But if God's calling you to do it, let's watch him provide for it. So let's pray. Oh Lord. Father, we just so thank you so much for this great opportunity and this brief opportunity to try and communicate to this body who supported this trip, both financially and prayerfully. God, we just pray that your will would be done in our lives, that we would be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that even in our busyness, even in our days, we can see you work in us. When we get frustrated, when we get angry, when we get fearful, we know we can just stop and pray, and that peace that surpasses understanding is available to us. And so, God, we just pray for our church, we pray for our ministry, we pray for our lives, that your will would be done. As we learned on this trip, your ways are so much greater than our ways. And when we look back on our lives, we can see your will being done. And that really is the life of a Christian, allowing your will to be done and not our own. I thank you for each and every one of the missionaries that went on this trip. I thank you for each and every one of the people in this church that prayed fervently throughout the week for us as we were gone. And I thank you that, Lord, together we can see Lakai Tamun and San Michel be transformed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I am looking forward to the day when these young kids are going to be men and women on fire for God, serving in their community, serving somewhere in the world. And it's all because of your heart, and it's all because of what you planted in Suzelle's heart 5 years ago. And we pray that your will would continue to be done, that we wouldn't do things in our strength, but in your strength. So to you be the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and close in one final song. God bless you.